Hello and welcome to our study today. My name is Richard Massey and I preach for the Church of Christ located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be studying from the Old Testament book of Leviticus, and in the opening chapters of the book of Leviticus, it explains the offerings that were to be made to God. And they were required. God had made a covenant with his people when they came out of Egypt. And that covenant was an agreement that God gave them stipulations and laws, and they said, we're going to do what those laws said. They made a covenant. Sort of like the marriage covenant. Man says, I'm going to take you to be my wife, and the wife says, I agree to that. I'm going to be your wife, and you'll be my husband. That's a covenant. They agree to have a relationship together. And so that's what it's like with man. Man must have a covenant with God in order to have fellowship with him. But in that covenant, there are offerings that man needs to make. Man needs to make offerings to God. That is required for fellowship. Two things that we're going to talk about today that is required for fellowship with God. Number one is you must be in agreement to a covenant. And God has provided that covenant. That's called the New Testament of Christ for the Christian. In the Old Testament, if you were a Jew, it was the covenant given through Moses at Mount Sinai. And there were sacrifices or offerings that went along with that covenant. And that's what we want to study today. We want to study the sacrifices, the offerings that men were to make unto God. Now, we're to make offerings today. They are different than they were in the Old Testament. But let's start in Leviticus 1. And let's read about one of those offerings. Beginning in chapter 1 of Leviticus, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring an offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And so he stipulates what kind of offering it was to be. Now, there are many of these offerings found in chapters 1 through 8, and we won't have time to talk about all those offerings, but this is one of them. It's the burnt sacrifice. And it was to come from the cattle or the herd or the flock. Verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And so these offerings were not forced. They were voluntary. But if you wanted to have a relationship with God, you needed to make offerings. Verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. It's the way to be at one with God. Atonement, at-one-ment. And so you had to make these offerings. Verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering. In other words, it's going to have to be dismembered. And cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And so there was that covenant, and that covenant contained ordinances. And those ordinances were, some of them were to bring offerings to God, and this is one of them. This is how you do it. And so the covenant of Moses for us today has been replaced by a better covenant. Now, they had offerings under that first covenant, but now we have a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 talks about God replacing the covenant with a better covenant. Listen to Hebrews 8 in verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set in the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now Christ sits on a throne. He is a priest and a king and a prophet. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which God pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. And so we have a new covenant maker and a new covenant, and that is with Christ. The covenant of Moses has been replaced with a better covenant. Under the covenant of Moses, there were ordinances. There were offerings of animals. And it was a pattern for the second covenant. But also by the offerings and the gifts and the sacrifices, and that Old Testament law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the first offering we've talked about under the Old Testament was a burnt offering. It was to be of a male without blemish, of the herds or the flocks. And then in chapter 2, there was the meal offering of oil and fine flour, frankincense and cakes and unleavened wafers. Then there was the first fruits offerings. Then there were the peace offerings. And all of these details that were given in all of these offerings. So there was a covenant to have fellowship with God, to have a relationship with God. There had to be a covenant. We have a covenant today, and that covenant is through Christ. And there had to be offerings. We noticed they were offerings of great detail. There were rules to follow. There was fire upon the altar. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13. There was to always be a fire burning. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And so it was also the most holy place where these offerings were to be made. Now the most holy place is a type of church. It says, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. It is very holy. To have a relationship with God required sacrifices and offerings and gifts for an atonement. There was offerings for sin. Leviticus 4 and verse 13. It says, and the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning these things which should not be done, are guilty. And so they had sin. They had to have forgiveness of sins. Verse 20 of Leviticus 4. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do that with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And so they could receive forgiveness under the Old Testament. there was forgiveness. We're told in the New Testament that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. That's what we're told there. But they had to obey God's covenant. And when Christ died upon the cross, he took sins away under both the Old Testament and also the New Testament. And I want to read that passage with you in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse number 12. Listen to this. So, you know, we're baptized. Our sins are forgiven. When they offered the sin sacrifices, their sins were forgiven when Christ died on the cross. And so in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse number 12, we read this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So the people under the first testament received forgiveness through their obedience when Christ died upon the cross. Then his sacrifice caused their sins to be released. They were released from their sins. And so there was a need for a covenant back then, and ordinances, and offerings. Now today, we have a covenant with the Lord, and that is the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And we have sacrifices and offerings today, and we read about them in one passage in Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Isn't that great that their offerings were sometimes a little difficult? They had to go get an animal. They had to lay their hand on his head. It had to be destroyed. They had to cut the body up. You and I offer offerings that are much simpler, and it's a better covenant. And so when we sing praises to God, we're giving him offerings. And that's beautiful. I'm so thankful for the New Testament. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 2, in verse 11, in whom also we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so just like they had a circumcision in their covenant, it was a physical circumcision that was made for men or male children. We have a circumcision today that is spiritual, that God performs when we are baptized. Now, they had bloody sacrifices. They had to destroy the animal, and large amounts of blood from those animals were sprinkled around the altar. They had to cut those animals up, flay them, the Bible says. It was hard. It was messy. Those were messy sacrifices, blood. And it wasn't flowers. Why didn't God require flowers and perfume and beauty? Well, because it's not supposed to be beautiful. Sacrifices for sin, sin's not pretty. Sin is ugly. And so were the sacrifices of sin. To be right with God, you had to have your sins removed. And that required the death of the animals. You know, when Jesus died, it wasn't a real beautiful scene there. I don't know if you've thought about that. It wasn't lovely. It was horrible. Christ was writhing in pain upon the cross. And his body had wounds all over it. And you know, when we read Isaiah 53, we're reminded of that great sacrifice. And there it says, he is a man of sorrows. He is a man acquainted with griefs. Verse 3 of Isaiah 53. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. It's not a beautiful sight to see someone wounded and bruised and afflicted and in sorrow and writhing in pain. But that's what it took to take away our sin. Those animals had to be cut up. Their blood had to be sprinkled around the altar. It wasn't a pretty scene to take care of sins. It's not beautiful. Now in the Old Testament, they had to lay their hands on that sacrifice. You had to come up there with the tabernacle, lay your hands on the head of the animal, and then he would be slain. You had to personally be connected with that animal. And you know, in the New Testament, we have the death of Christ. It was a dark scene. Darkness was over the face of the earth. It was a gruesome scene as Jesus died for our sins. His blood poured from his side along with water. But you know, we have to participate in that. We have to eat the unleavened bread on the first day of the week. We drink the fruit of the vine on the first day of the week. That's called the Lord's Supper. That's called the communion, and that is necessary for our fellowship with God. The Old Testament, it was necessary. They had a covenant. They had ordinances. They had to actually participate in the sacrifice. And so it is with us today. We have a covenant. We've agreed to the terms of the covenant. And we have to become a holy people. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we must become the holy people of God. We must offer up the spiritual sacrifices that we mentioned a moment ago in Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. We have to be actively involved in this. We have to give a free will offering ourselves and the worship because we want to, not because we have to. Sure, it's required of us to do that. But we should want to sacrifice to God and offer offerings of praise. We should want to give our very best. God gave his best. You know, you don't want to give a cheap gift to your spouse. You want to give a nice gift to your spouse because you love them and you want to show that you love them, and that's the way we ought to be with God. We don't give our spouse a gift because we have to. We do because we want to, because we love them. So in the Old Testament, we have a people that needed to fellowship with God. They had to do that through a covenant given to Moses at Mount Sinai. And today we have a covenant with God, the New Testament of Jesus Christ that was instituted when he died upon the cross. Hebrews 9 teaches us. And we have to offer sacrifices, not animals, we're glad of that. But we have to give God the very best that we have. God doesn't do this because he has to. Jesus didn't come to the earth because he was forced to come. He came because he wanted to. He wanted to save us from our sins. We're so very thankful that he wanted to save us from our sins. No one forced him to leave heaven and come to this earth. We're thankful to God. We're thankful to him for his great and unspeakable gift, his indescribable gift, his gift of everlasting life in heaven with him. In the Old Testament, they had the covenant with his ordinances given through Moses. But in the New Testament, we have a covenant, a better covenant, a beautiful covenant. We don't have to bring animals to the church because Christ is the one that shed his blood for us. We don't have to bring sheep and goats to be sacrificed. We bring the worship of the fruit of our lips. We do it because we want to. We want to praise God for all that he has done for us. What a beautiful arrangement God has made for us. I want to thank you for tuning in today and listening to the lesson as we talked about a fellowship with God, a relationship with God. It has to come through a covenant. And it has to come through offerings. If you're not offering God worship, then you don't really have a fellowship with him. I pray that you'll search these things out in your own Bible. Read the book of Leviticus, especially the first 10 chapters, and notice all of the sacrifices under the Old Testament. Now we're free from that. We have a better covenant. We can have true relationship with God and be his children. He's our Father, and we can be his children. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is time for you to do that today. If you need help obeying the gospel, and by the way, it's more than a sinner's prayer, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You must confess with your mouth that you believe that he is the Son of God, Matthew 10 and 32. You must also repent of your sins, Luke 13, verse 3 and also verse 5. And you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38 and Acts 22 and verse 16. If you need help doing that, please contact us. We have a website, windmillcoc.org. Please get in touch with us, and we'll help you in any way to obey the gospel. Our number is there. Call our number and get in touch with us or come to see us. We're 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas, and we'd be glad to see you and have you at our worship assemblies. Or contact the Church of Christ in your area and go ask them to study with you and teach you more about obeying the gospel so that you can become a faithful Christian and have a home in heaven waiting for you when this life comes to an end. God loves you so very much. He loves you and he wants you to be saved in heaven with him forever and ever. Don't delay. Obey the gospel right away and then serve God the rest of your life. Thank you for tuning in, dear neighbor and friend and brother and sister in Christ. Let's all remain faithful to God and obey his will in all things. May God bless you as you continue to search his will and seek him. Thank you for tuning in. May God bless you, and we'll see you next time.